know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and can Father forgive them. And it's not going to be in that order, because I realize that not what they want to study, that forgiveness should come last because it's the most important. We all know the Father. We hate him. He loves us. He gave us. And he's given everything to us. Over and over again.
Amen.
Jesus said, them. He was talking about us. Of them at that point in time, and he was talking about them as in us right now.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just mean the people that were in the crowd, causing ruckus. Mm-hmm. Jesus was talking about everyone till he comes back and make us home from this place. He was making sure that God gave to Abraham to be fulfilled. Because all his seed, no matter who, if you believe in God, you are Abraham's seed.
Amen.
And it says in the Bible, in Genesis and in Galatians, that's what the promise was said. He gave us that we would be taken care of. We would be able to get to heaven. Bad things did happen while when he was on the cross, he had to take care of his business and his father's business.
Yeah.
And if this prophecy was fulfilled, it wasn't just for the Jews. It was also for the Gentiles. At these times of growth, there were Jews and there were Gentiles. But to both. The promise was to everybody. There was no race, there was no religion. The promise was the promise. And it was from God, so it's guaranteed. Small print. He said, it's done. You are part of Abraham's seed, and you can achieve this promise. Coming to a loop, they have the last supper. Bread, and he let them know that this is what he's going to deal with. And he went to the Mount of Olives to pray. That which means that way he gets, lo and behold, of course, Satan was in the midst. And he warned his disciples to be swayed and help themselves. And Jesus prayed and prayed. And he prayed so hard that sweat came off of him like blood. And an angel from heaven came down to strengthen him up. Holy, well, the way Jesus was praying, only an angel could come and strengthen him up. No matter if all 12 of his disciples got their brothers, they couldn't give him the strength he needed. But as they interceded and took him to sleep, he was angry. And let's not think that he was praying just to pray as a visual. He was praying for us, and he was praying in preparation for the coming time. He knew that he was going to die. He was praying and getting ready for what was to come. And for us at that time. That's why he needed so much strength, because he was all the sin for all time at that point. Mm-hmm. He knew that he was going to, he knew that there was so much trials yet. And I don't mean the trials from Titus, that he went through physically and mentally to get to the cross.
Yeah.
He needed this, so he prayed and he prayed and he prayed until they came and took him away. After the mock trial, they beat him all night. The soldiers beat Jesus. And they spat on him and they mocked him and they ridiculed him. And it didn't end there after they put foam on him. Thorns on his head. They still ridiculed him. King of the Jews. And said, who is he? And then, to make matters worse, as he came out to be crucified, the people did him no better. The people that he walked with, preached to, taught to, healed, and bred him. This treated him just as bad as the soldiers did, even if it wasn't physical. And Jesus was put on that cross and hung up how his father felt. But his son still getting beaten upon, even as he's on the cross. Memory. And if I had the power that is something about. And I believe that's why Jesus, his first words on the cross was, Father, forgive them.
Amen.
Because I don't know about you, but I believe Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have to be the last time. It could have been Sodom, Gomorrah, and Jerusalem. He could have destroyed everything but the cross Jesus was on. Jesus had to ask for the forgiveness at that point in time. He said, in any Father, forgive them. And the purpose. Because that could have been it. That could have been the last thing. If he had said nothing, if he had stayed silent, that could have been. God could have said, you know, I had enough, and these people right here, I'll start over again, just not with water. Because I told Noah I wasn't going to do water again. So I'm going to repeat that one. I got a bunch of stuff I can do. I made it, I can destroy it. Just ask for our forgiveness. And it's why I say it's glad, because forgiveness is so important. Forgiveness is necessary for our atonement. Without it, we're lost. Ephesians chapter Ephesians 4, verse 32, it reads, well, we have to be forgiven as God has forgiven us.
Amen.
And it reads, and be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
Amen.
For Christ's sake. It's false. Paul said this. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Paul came back and said, for Christ's sake. Be this. Do what God does. He forgave them. The only reason we're still here is because God has forgiven us to a degree. We still have to ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
This flesh is destructive.
Amen.
We fight a battle. And I can't speak for everyone. So in this flesh, I have a hard time watching what I say. Even if it's not personal. I might say, man, that guy stinks. And then, can I help you out?
All
right. If I have a thought about something, if I do something mean,
well, I can take that guy to
you. He ain't mean. You just think, right, every day to live, none of us are righteous. We live and strive to be righteous, but we have to ask forgiveness.
Amen.
Because without it, we are lost.
Amen. Amen.
And we know why Jesus came down to earth for us. In Titus 2:14, I think this one because it's not a usual scripture. He who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us for all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous. And we all know that Jesus came down to save the lost. That's what he came down here for. And as long as we're in this flesh, we are the sick and the lost.
Yeah.
When we believe in Jesus, we X out for one. Come. We didn't decide, as Pastor Neil said, we didn't decide that, hey, I'm going to follow Jesus because it's great.
Yeah.
God had to wake us up to let us understand that we need him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Without him, you can't be saved without God.
Amen.
It is impossible. And Jesus laid it out for us.
Yes, sir.
Because all through the Bible, he sent people to line up for us.
Uh-huh.
He sent people to line up for Jesus was going to come, stay, and for us.
Yes.
And still yet, they just wouldn't hear. They wouldn't listen. They said, Lord, these guys, they get there too much. They told us, you got to stop this room, we ain't saying no more, but we got to do our own thing. So after all those years, Jesus still had to come down, walk this earth to save our lives. Going back just to last Sunday, I know some of you are here, but our family was something that I want to share. And this is a lamb was sacrificed for us, the donkey. If you want to know more, check out Sermon Audio after Pete Mill on 3/24/13. On TV, we have Michelle Gary's friend. And at the end of their confusion and evil sin, They have Gary's final thought. Now, when I was younger, my mother always called me Gary. So I changed it up a little bit. Gary's biblical feeling. And this is how I'll end it. You can believe in Jesus and in God, but without forgiveness of your sins,
man,
you're just another person with heaven potential going to heaven.
Oh, man. Got all his.
Christ preached, and the pastor always
3:18. Amen. And it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, what our word condemnation means. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light.
Yeah.
And which men did love darkness, as you can see, beating on Jesus. So Jesus was the light of the world. And you can see that. And they hated him. And this is all the way to him. Jesus is preaching right here. He's talking to Nicodemus. He was preaching. You know? And men love darkness rather than light, because they refused to be evil. For everyone that proves evil hated the light, neither coming to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And the other thief had, I think, about 3 hours to prove his stillness, because he was a liar and he still didn't do it. So, you know, we know where that's going. He must love darkness in his heart. That's where it all goes back to, that darkness. You gotta get that darkness off of us. We gotta move forward together. But okay. And that's not it. But he that doeth truth coming to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And that's what the second he did, that rebuked him. He came into the light. He came to Jesus. And he asked Jesus to, what he asked him to do, he asked him to remember me. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I'm back in Luke 42. And when he said that, you know, he couldn't just stop that. Lord, remember me. And could be done with it, but he wanted to put that blessed assurance on him, to where he had to say, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom. How did he know that he had a kingdom? You know, he could have just left it. I remember me. Lord, it don't matter where you're going to be with me. No, he said, when thou comest into thy kingdom. He knew that Jesus was the light. He knew that he was the truth. He knew that he was the only way. The only way out of his condemnation. Out of his condemnation. Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to 43. This is my verse. We couldn't even make it here if we didn't get through the 2 P's. We couldn't even make it here to paradise. Don't even think about it if you don't even know how. Ain't no such thing as paradise if you don't know who Jesus is.
Amen.
Alright. Right. Jesus talked to the other thief. He didn't talk to, you know, he didn't think so much to anybody else. He said, he's talking to this thief right here. And he said, today.
Come on now.
Today.
Come on.
Not tomorrow.
No.
Not next week. No.
Right now.
He said, today. Thou shalt be with me. With me. Not I'm gonna leave you over here. No, you're gonna be with me.
Amen.
You're gonna be with me.
That's a good thing.
In paradise. In a beautiful place in heaven, in a place you can't grasp in your earthly body. Amen. Because everybody that I've seen that seen heaven was caught up in the Holy Ghost because of Jesus. They seen the light and their hearts was not dark. Amen. Amen. And the way I love the way Jesus did this is, all the way to the end, Jesus was still giving people a chance to come to salvation. Amen. He has nose open, arms wide open, still inviting people. Come to me, divine light of the world. But if you know your heart's dark, if diverse family, that he was always kind and true, and in our home, you should be like him in everything you say and do. Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. In John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. Brother Brandon Johnson.
Amen.
Amen. Let anybody have to praise the Lord by saying amen.
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 You know, Jesus is scorned by the sinners and crucified for our sins.
Amen.
But remember, there's a lot of us out here that don't appreciate it.
All right.
And today I'm speaking from St. John, 19th verse. 26 and 27 chapter. And Jesus went therefore and saw his mother, and the disciples standing by him in love, and said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciples took her into his own home. You know, and that second verse, there's a lot of people here. You won't take them once you get home. And that's no way to treat you. If you want to get to heaven, you have to live by the Father. And here's Jesus' mother. You know, Jesus lay on, hanging on the cross. And that's the only thing you can think about. What was going to happen. But who's going to take care of his mother? You know, there's a lot of us out here that do think about that, but there's a lot of guys out here that do. You know, that's what Sam just wrote to say. Part of the disciples we love is God. God is the one who wrote this scripture. What I got from him is love your family. No matter what, as Jesus did. Whether they understand us or even approve of what we do. Scripture tells us, honor your mother and father.
Amen.
Secondly, as far as those of our family, we're responsible for family obligations.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is clear.
Amen.
That the disciples must put commitment to him for family relations. Our observation to Christ comes primarily from being the second man. In Christ first, means we are free in our family. That's what concludes my
speech.
Thank you. That's why my testimony is so strong in the way I talk.
Right.
Brother Dustin was talking about Nicodemus. Now I need to go to my parents, but I got to leave it to you. From John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, even though John 3, 3 is one of my favorites, my daughter was asking me on the way up there, and she had John 3, 3. Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, he know who are a teacher, come from God. And no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. We know. We know. Who did he say he was? There was a man of the Pharisees. They knew.
Yes, they did.
Now, right now, you're thinking, wait, now, why did they kill him? But they knew. I'm not going to go there. There were so many things I touched. But I said, I'll call my brother-in-law, Dennis, my brother in Christ, who came all the way from Pennsylvania. I was telling him, there's so many things here that you can just call nuts. Nicodemus was a Pharisee that came to Jesus by night. He was afraid to be seen by the other Jews, the other teachers of the law. We know what would happen to him. And what happened to him in John 21. We know. Despite knowing the Jews still jealously denied it. They accused him of casting out demons by the power of the devil, not to mention all the other things. See, there are many factors that separate Jesus from the magicians, the sorcerers, and the Lord folk of that day. Ken Hoven, a TV preacher right now, said, if all it took was dying on the cross, I could have done that.
Woo!
The hair on my arm stands up. I'm afraid he would stay. The major problems with that blasphemous statement are obvious.
Yes,
Jesus is perfect. Never to sin. And I got the letter A capitalized. Never committed a sin. Because Romans 3:23 says, for all the sin fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Sin, right? Just one. But Jesus never committed a sin. And oh, by the way, can he is God in the flesh, the Son of God.
Amen.
Jesus was authenticated, proved by the scripture and prophecy. Okay, the five books that they were so knowing of, every word, the prophecy, they knew it. It was proved. The Gospel of Matthew shows the genealogy, the birth and birth, place of birth, etc. From the birth until the last breath on the cross, Jesus met all, fulfilled all of the scripture required of the coming Messiah. Right? Remember what Nicodemus said back in John 3? You. Even to this day, the Jews still deny him as Lord. If their eyes were open, there might not be a Jewish community center.
Amen.
Might be called a Christian community center. And he can now still bring real bacon. You won't get in any trouble. This fifth stain of the cross, God first, was not mentioned in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Why did that brother David lie?
Yeah.
Well, I believe Brother Vernon touched on it a little bit. Verses of John 19:26-27. Notice that John was literally at the foot of the cross. John was receiving direct personal instruction from the Lord Jesus Christ. Directly. At the foot of the cross. Okay? And there are certain requirements of what is gospel and what is not. Not everybody who calls themselves an apostle or wrote something was given their book in the Bible. First, apostolic authorship. I don't know if I spell apostolic right. Written by an apostle or a close associate of one. For example, Mark was not an apostle, but a companion of Peter, who was. Luke, not an apostle, but a companion of Paul, who was. Okay? The content has to be consistent with apostolic authorship. Third thing, within the generation of Jesus. That's why the Catholic Apocrypha, the Jehovah's, the Mormon Bibles are all disqualified. Many, many doctrinal errors in history and theology. So John was right there when Jesus said, I never talked to Jake Bulls Grisio. He said right at him, my brother is coming up next. Jake, if many of you don't know, Jake's a pro boxer. And Jake walks around about 150, 155 pounds comfortably. His fight weight for this particular fight was 135. So Jake had to cut some weight. Okay? So not just dieting and exercise, but he had to prime his body of fluids. So he had to dehydrate. So when you dehydrate, and I noticed talking to him on the phone prior to the weigh-in, his tongue was not working well. He had trouble speaking. And it was because he was so dehydrated that Psalm 22:15, it actually sounds real similar to that. Another fulfilled scripture says, my strength, I'm reading from the New King James, I apologize, I forgot to tell you that from the beginning. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. Sounds a lot like the condition of Jesus on the cross, where Jake's tongue was gone. He's thirsty, and physically, Jesus is more spiritual than what they give. It wasn't a slushy machine or a water cooler on Golgotha. Okay? It wasn't nothing like that. And Jesus knew he was God. He is. Verse 29 of John 19 says that they used a hyssop branch. Vernon touched on that a little bit. To lift the sour wine soaked sponge to his mouth. It's Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. That hyssop branch, verse 9 of John 19, Exodus 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of the house until morning. Where they got the blood and the hyssop branch, to put the blood, or put the sponge in the mouth. No, not a coincidence.
Amen.
Okay? To put the blood on the lintel. The lintel was the top part of the door, upon the Holy Spirit. And the symbol of the cross also. So way back in the book of Exodus, we're already lining up. The pastor preaches every Sunday. He says, I can use any book. The Muslims say that you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament. Well, guess what? Another fulfilled scripture. As I close, Jesus is who the Bible says he is. Who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? Is it your TV? Or your habit? Breath. This is Lord.
Power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again.
Amen.
This commandment have I received of my Father. Christ was in complete control of his life, death, and resurrection.
Amen.
He was in control of why he was on the cross, and that's exactly why, like Brother Dave said, brought him the vinegar when he said he thirsted. Because he knew they would. He was in control. He was in control. I'm a Mexican burning in me. Alright, let's get into that. The scripture I was given was John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." It is finished. He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. Amen. Thank you for the word of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, "It is finished."
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I have to ask, what is finished? What is finished, right? And I got a ton of stuff, so I'm going to give you a portion. I won't get mad if anybody walks out. I'm going to bring it to you. And there's a ton. Like all these men were saying, the fulfillment of all the scriptures, all the Old Testament prophecies about Christ, at this very moment, they were all fulfilled because he wasn't pierced in his side. He didn't die yet. And there's a couple more things that weren't. So. But he was fulfilling every single last one of them on the cross. All the way back to Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 3, the prophecy of him being born of a woman's seed. Isaiah 7, the prophecy of his virgin mother. 2 Samuel, the prophecy of his kingdom being in the lineage of David. Micah 5, him being born in Bethlehem. Malachi 3, John the Baptist preparing the way for him.
Come on now.
Isaiah 35, I got to read this. Isaiah 35, verses 4 through 6. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even a God with recompense. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. We were all blind. If you're sitting here, you were blind. Then God may open our eyes. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall water break out and streams in the desert. Amen. Thank you, God, for coming and saving us. Talking about him speaking in parables. Zechariah 9, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We just celebrated that Palm Sunday last week. We were celebrating Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He knows that scripture. Isaiah 53, verse 3. His person being despised. He was despised as a human. We hated God. Like the brother said, light came into the world, but men love darkness. We love darkness in our deeds for evil. And when we were lost and we were in that sin, we loved being there and we needed the light. Psalm 69:4, he was hated without a cause. He hated him for no reason. He was praying. He wasn't doing nothing but fulfilling the work he was called to do. All this. Earlier in John, in chapter 17, verse 4, Jesus said in prayer to the Father, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Christ came, Christ preached. God, Christ said, "I come to preach. I came here to preach the word. I gave you the law. By preaching this word, I'm going to tell you guys it's about God, man." I thought that this was very interesting. Some of my studies around God revealed something to me. It's finished in the Greek was just one word, and I'm probably going to brutalize this word, but Tilo. I read a study in a MacArthur Bible I got, and MacArthur said that this word is commonly found being placed on receipts for taxes. And the meaning of this word means paid in full. Out of tax. When Christ said on the cross, "It is finished," it was paid in full. You know what that means? Now, this is a huge thing in my walk with the Lord. I don't know about anybody else, so I'm beating up myself. Let's forever know me first. And it did. This hit me so hard in my walk. I says faith without works is dead. Okay, we should be working, but it should be because of our faith in Christ. There's nothing we can do to get to heaven. We cannot get there. Christ said it is finished. It is paid in full. You can't do anything to earn your salvation. You can't do anything to keep it. You just got to trust in Christ.
Amen.
I mean, that just hit me so hard. I just absolutely love that. And we got to trust in Christ for all of us. Because unlike Christ, we're all,
amen,
we all fallen short of the glory of God. Like Brother Dave said, Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we have to leave our faith in Christ. The sinless one. And I just want to touch on just a little something. Christ was our sacrificial lamb, our spotless, blameless, sinless, sacrificial lamb. I want you guys, if you have a Bible, just turn to Leviticus chapter 4. And I just want to touch this real fast, because you don't hear a lot about this in the New Testament, because it's all about Christ, and we didn't have to do this no more. But I want you guys to read this. I'm going to start in 27. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while look somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not be done, and be guilty, or if his sin which he has sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female, without blemish, for his sin which he has sinned. And it goes on to say, he got to kill his sin on the altar, let the priest rub the blood on his horns. The people when Christ came were still under the law. Until he died and came back, they were still under the law. So when they sinned, they had to do things like this. They had to go and get the lamb and sacrifice it themselves. Christ, God the Father, sent his only begotten Son.
Come on now.
Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. We don't have to go out and find a spotless lamb.
Amen.
We have a spotless lamb. Amen. On Christ, and on the cross, Christ said, Christ finished it. We don't have to go out, kill nobody, kill nothing.
Amen.
Anything like that, all we got to do is put our faith in Christ and believe. I just want to touch on some other things that personally I'd like to feel on the cross. I know I'm moving fast. I have a lot. I want to get through it because I think it's all good stuff. We heard earlier about his physical suffering. We heard a lot about that. And yeah, he went through it. He went through it for us.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing. But he probably shut it off. I know we go to his passion, but he Christ, the fake Christ on the cross, and he's up there. It's finished. No, the Bible don't say that. The Bible says, Christ said, it is finished.
I'm
alone and grunted.
Come on now.
He said it is finished. I believe he's hanging up there perfectly fine. That scourging and beams and slapping, they didn't save God.
Come on now.
Like I said, he was in control of his life, death, and resurrection. He knew what they were going to do, and he was ready and prepared for it. He wasn't up there moaning and groaning. He said, hey, bruise thy head.
again, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Yes,
that is fulfilled. Okay? Christ was, Christ is the fulfillment of this prophecy.
Amen.
The Holy, only Father was killed for us. Psalm 53 says he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for taking that bruise and that means for us, because by your stripes it is finished. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to thank that. Something else that hit me on Sunday, the pastor was up here, preaching, and somebody asked him, why did Christ have to go through all this? Why did he have to take all this punishment? Why did he have to go through this? Yeah, I mean, he could have just been like, I mean, he spoke the world into existence.
Amen.
He could have did anything he wanted to do. So why did he have to go through this? I thought this was going to be take a ride when we do this one. I believe that God demanded blood to cover our sin. I want to look at Genesis 3:21. You can turn it if you want. Unto Adam. Now we're talking about the first sin here. This is right after the first sin which happened in the Garden of Eden. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. Coats of skin. They weren't walking around invisible. This ain't that kind of skin. I believe God went out to the field, found the biggest, baddest beast that he thought it was, slain them, killed that thing, skinned it, and made clothes for Adam and Eve. That's what happened. God the Father made the very first sacrifice for sin. He shed blood for the very first sin. And guess what? He shed blood for the very last sin offering. Christ on the cross. It is finished. And I thought that was so awesome. The first and the last. The Alpha, the Omega, everything in between, the beginning and the end. Thank you, Lord. It is finished. Man. I love that.
All right.
I don't know about you, but it is finished. And it's not just finished for me or for him or for... It's finished for everyone, man. I know you get some people to go around and say, oh, well, you know, you get some Calvinist talk and they say, oh, Christ only died for the people. No, no, no. The Word of God says in 1 John, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So that means Christ bore your sins, he bore your sins, he bore my sins for the whole world. And on that cross, it is finished. Thank you, God. Don't let anybody tell you that Christ didn't die for your sins. And I'm going to close. I've been up here too long. But I just got a closing thought. Accepting Christ finished work.
Amen.
Have you accepted that? Have the blood washed away your sins? Have you been cleansed? I tell you right now, there ain't nothing you can do to earn it or to get it. You can cry out to God and ask him, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm an idiot. I know that I'm a sinner. And I need you, Father. I cannot do this without you, Lord. I need you. And I know on that cross, Lord God, you said it is finished.
Now Jesus lives today. He reigns forever. The hope of glory is the open door. He is the Christ that gave his life so we could live forevermore. Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Deacon Joseph Napier. Dear Heavenly Father, you have brought each and every one of us here today
group of Christianity, as I call it, Heavenly Father, this classroom of understanding, Lord, that we would have ears to hear and transform that energy of hearing into thought and then into action, Heavenly Father, Lord. You are so good to us. We're each and every day living in your image, Heavenly Father. We're touched by your presence, Heavenly Father, and we must be moved by you, Lord. You cannot be ignored, Heavenly Father, Lord.
Amen.
You are pricking our hearts because each and every one of us who are gathered here today, Heavenly Father, has heard the call from you, Heavenly Father, Lord, to come together in fellowship of understanding, Heavenly Father. And it is in your Son's majestic name we pray, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
This right here is called a lot of different things. Some people call it their sword, their shield, a religious tapestry, if you will. A manual to live by, a manual in which we should conduct our lives. But of course, to gain understanding from this manual, we must open it up at least occasionally. But we need to open it up more. A lot of people say, but I put my glasses on, I kind of look like a professor. So bear with me for a second, as we're now in history class, if you will. Because I call this my history book. That's what this is to me. The scripture I'm speaking on today can be found in Luke 23 and 46. I invite you all to join me, please. In the few Bibles that can be found on page 1481, that's 1481 in your few Bibles. Let me set up the scene for a moment as you're transversing through the pages to Luke 23, 46, just for a moment. I read that particular verse and was moved by it because that's how it ended. I got the seventh one because God placed me at that seventh position. That's the way I feel about it. So when I read Luke 23 and 46, the words that are contained in that verse are very, very profound. Let's go with this together. But before then, I'm going to set up a mood here as we continue this history lesson of sort. The hour is about the sixth hour, about 12 noon, our timetable today, if you will. There was darkness all over the earth because of a solar eclipse that suddenly appeared. The moment was upon him, and he was ready. Luke 23 and 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, gave up the ghost.
Amen.
Jesus had taken his last breath. These were the last words spoken before Jesus lowered his head and died. These words changed the course of history forever. All these words, the curtain in the temple was torn straight down the middle at that very moment. You may ask, what was the significance of the curtain in the temple? And why did it tear without human intervention? In the Jewish tradition, there was a veil or a curtain between the outer court and the inner court of the temple. The veil separated the holy from the most holy place, dividing the temple into two sections. The veil was thick, and thread was doubled six times. It was extremely thick and heavy and not easily torn. Prior to Jesus becoming our atonement, the high priest had to adhere to a yearly ritual, the Day of Atonement. Once a year, only the high priest could go beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies, The priest would separate himself 4 weeks prior. He would fast, offer sacrifice, and confessions of sin. On the Day of Atonement, he would enter the Holy of Holies with incense and burning coals. The high priest would have a rope attached to his body, for if the ritual was not done correctly, the priest could pull his dead body back. This was the only way that the sins of the people would be forgiven. Prior to the crucifixion of Jesus, the Gentiles, or non-Jews, did not have access to God. There was no pardon for their sins, no way of making things right. God's plan was for all mankind to have the opportunity to be reconciled to Him. Because of these words, the separation between Jews and Gentiles was abolished, and that the privilege that was only for the high priest was now made available to all mankind. Because of the death of Christ, we all have access to the throne of grace. Because of these words, the need for the Day of Atonement was no longer necessary. No other animal sacrifices were needed ever. No shedding of blood for the remission of sin. It was finished, done, and for all time. Because of these words, Jesus willingly gave his life and committed his spirit back to the Father, taking the place of everyone who would ever commit sin, including Jews and non-Jews alike. Because of these words, Jesus restored the authority that the first Adam gave away when Adam and Eve were disobedient to God. Because of these words, the door of communication that was once shut is now reopened, giving mankind a door to enter fellowship with God the Father. Because of these words, we now have the opportunity to know Christ, to have a personal relationship with Him. Nothing in the way to hinder those who want to be forgiven. Because of these words, we have the opportunity to be saved from our sins.
Amen.
Because of these words, we have the opportunity not to be separated from God and spend eternity in hell. Because of these words, those who know who don't know Christ or want to take advantage of the opportunity to know Him in a greater way, you now have a chance to confess your sins and commit your life to Christ. Why, you ask? Because tomorrow is not promised. Choose Christ. Because He has chosen you. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful.